Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Heidi Moore in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. As you may have heard, next Tuesday is primary day here in New York City. And yes, the mayoral race is getting lots of attention, but you may want to look a little further down the ballot. No, further than that, a little further. There you go. Yes, it's time to talk about the city council primary races. As it happens, there are some very interesting contests taking place. About 40% of New York voters will be choosing a new council member this year. And the city council races are where New York's big political forces go head to head. And as you've seen in the mayoral debates, what happens in the city council doesn't stay in the city council. Ben Max from Decide New York is here to run down some of the races he thinks are most interesting, from Lower Manhattan to the South Bronx to Eastern Queens. His site is a great guide to all the contests taking place this fall. Ben, welcome to WNYC.
And thank you for having me.
So we'll go through some of the races in a second, but I want to talk about that stat. There are 51 council districts in New York City, and voters in 40% will be choosing a completely new representative. What are the reasons that there would be an open seat, and does that strike you as a high or a low number?
It's a pretty high number. This year's especially, there's a lot of turnover in government all over the place, including the citywide races. Most of the reasons are term limits. A lot of candidates who are running for these seats are running in open seats that the current office holders have been term limited out. There's also certain occasions where someone has had to resign or isn't running for office because of scandal, but mostly term limits.
Well, we'll get to scandals in a second, I think. On the flip side, there are five races that are uncontested. No challengers in 1 out of 10 council races, really?
Well, if you have a strong incumbent, the odds are so slim to take down an incumbent. And there's only a couple of races throughout the city, throughout the 51 districts, where there's even a chance of a challenger taking out an incumbent. And we might get to a couple of those as well. But incumbency in New York City Council and in all levels of government is very difficult to defeat.
Okay, let's get to some of those races to watch. But first, listeners, you can get in on this as well. It's time to tout your race. The phones are open, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. For you to tell us why your city council race is interesting. We'll even allow a little electioneering. But you can tell us who you're supporting only if you tell us first why the race in general is interesting. 212-433-9692.
And if I could just jump in for a second, if people want to be looking up some of the candidacies and the races at home, it's decidenyc.com is the site. So you can look up all the different city council races there at our site.
Excellent. And I think you can also look on WNYC.org for more on that as
absolutely.
Well.
Sure, absolutely.
So Ben, let's start with City Council District 3. This is on Manhattan's west side, Chelsea and the West Village. It also happens to be the district we're sitting in right now. And it's the seat to replace Council Speaker Christine Quinn, who's running for mayor. There are two candidates in the Democratic primary and no Republican candidates, right? So the winner Tuesday will be the council member?
Winner Tuesday will be the council member. It's Corey Johnson and Yetta Kurland are the two candidates. It's been a fierce race that has gotten fairly personal at times, which again gets a lot of attention. But, part of the reason behind even starting my site and what we like to do is also look at the substance. So there's been a lot of tax there, but there's also been a lot of talk of policy in that race and others.
Yeah. What's interesting is that both Johnson and Kirkland are openly gay, as was Speaker Quinn. Both candidates oppose the building of the Spectra natural gas pipeline, which would run through the district. Both support participatory budgeting and endorse the bike share, City Bike. Both name affordable housing as a top priority. So does anything distinguish them?
It's difficult to find any policy differences here, any philosophical differences. Where it's really come down to is talk about character, about experience, and that's where a lot of the attacks have been happening. Mostly, Kurland's been attacking Johnson for some things on his resume and some of his allegations about his attachments to development. Which real estate development is an issue all across the city in every race, including the mayoral race, of course, and about candidates' ties to real estate and the big money involved there versus affordable housing and affordability. So in this race, we're seeing a lot of that, partly due to the fact that it's the district where St. Vincent's closed and all of the drama related to that and the issues in the neighborhood related to that.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting about it. Even though they're so close together in profile, it hasn't stopped the race from getting pretty nasty. At the last debate, supporters from both sides shouted each other down. Kirkland has tried to paint Johnson as a lackey for the real estate industry. Johnson keeps bringing up that Kirkland once owned a gun. Is this just two candidates trying to find any sort of opening, or are there real issues at stake?
Well, I was at that debate, and it was well attended, and the audience was making their voices heard. You know, it's a very interesting race. Both candidates have strong resumes in terms of things they've done for the district, but I think it is also a case where two candidates who are trying to get elected are looking for whatever, you know, cleavages there might be to try to find some room to distinguish themselves.
Has Quinn endorsed either of them?
Quinn has not gotten involved in the race. Johnson seems to have most of the institutional support behind him, a great many elected officials from the West Side and from around New York City, and he, you know, seems to be more of kind of the establishment candidate in that respect. But he also deflects some of the attacks from Kirkland, saying that some of these progressive leaders would not be endorsing me if I was tied to real estate as you claim I am. But she's sticking to her guns pretty well.
Oh, interesting. Let's hear from Madge on the Upper West Side. She has somebody that she favors in a local city council race.
Hi,
Madge.
I favor Mel Wymore because I've been a small business owner in this neighborhood for 30 years as well as a resident. And Mel's actually done things like work with city planning to get the rezoning that'll protect small businesses so we don't have just huge drugstores and banks in this neighborhood. Mel listens also, wants to know what people really feel, and then organizes and actually does things. He's been a candidate for this neighborhood for 15 years. He's done everything from soup kitchens. When he first got here, organized soup kitchens to be head of the community board for two terms, negotiated an 800-seat school where the developer down at 60th Street wanted to put in a much smaller school just for his development. Mel negotiated a school that's going to be for the entire community.
Uh-huh.
And he's also worked very hard on affordable housing, especially in that project and throughout the neighborhood.
Wow.
Okay. Thank you, Matt.
What an endorsement. Holy cow.
Ben, do you want to add some context?
I would love to add some context. So let me just jump on the Mel Wymore bandwagon for one second. Mel Wymore, I don't think you mentioned, Madge, was also endorsed by the New York Times, which on the Upper West Side is, you know, the holy grail or whatever analogy we want to make. So this Upper West Side, this District 6 race to replace Gail Brewer, who's running for Manhattan Borough President, is a really interesting race. And along with Mel Wymore, you have a series of candidates, well-qualified. You actually have seven Democratic candidates running here. So to go back to your question about certain races, no challengers and things like that, I mean, you see on the Upper West Side in this district a number of candidates and many well-qualified ones. So along with Mel Wymore in that district, the other top candidates are probably Mark Landis, who has a lot of institutional backing, political clubs, elected officials behind him. Helen Rosenthal, who's been very involved in the city budget office and has a long track record in the district as well. And along with Mel Wymore, you also have Noah Gottbaum, who's been an education activist, Deborah Cooper, who's been a women's rights activist, and Ken Bibberai, who's a younger candidate. His tagline is, you know, bringing new energy to the city council, and he's brought it to the Upper West Side, campaigning at subway stops all over the place, all political season. So it's a very interesting race. And as far as I'm concerned, I throw my hands up with this one. I don't know who's coming out on top here.
Well, with eight candidates, you have to wonder if there's anyone left to vote who's not running.
So that's really interesting there. I mean, and across the city, how many votes are going to win some of these city council races? You could be talking about 1,500 votes, 2,000 votes in some places where that's so few that the difference between coming in first and second, and there's no runoff in these races. So whoever gets the most votes wins.
Yeah, and and by the way, on Mel Wymore, I can see from all of our callers here, he has a very powerful list. Most of the calls on our site are from Mel Wymore supporters. So obviously he got the word out about the segment. So I want to ask you a little bit about leaving the west side of Manhattan, hopping the LIRR, and heading all the way to Eastern Queens, Council District 19, College Point, Fort Totten, Clearview, Little Neck. This is on the northern edge of Queens by the Throgs Neck Bridge. And here we have not four, not five, but six candidates vying for the Democratic nomination. What do we need to know about them?
Another busy, busy race. So this is District 19, where the current council member, Dan Halloran, who's a Republican, has been involved in some scandal related to Albany, and that's all going to come out in the wash at some point here. But this district is really interesting because there is a Republican candidate waiting to see who comes out of this Democratic primary. And this is a district that obviously, having elected a Republican in the past, is a swing district, which is very rare in New York City, as we only have four Republican city council members on the council at this time out of 51. So Dennis Safran is the Republican candidate. He's awaiting the winner of the Democratic primary. In the Democratic primary, you have a really interesting cast of characters. You have some high name recognition from some political families, which include Paul Vallone, the candidate. Obviously, most people who know New York City politics know the Vallone name. And then you have John Duane running, and his brother Tom Duane, I believe brother, it has, you know, been a longtime political elected official in New York City and New York State. And then what's funny is that you have both those candidates running, but a lot of elected officials and unions have actually been supporting Austin Safran in this race. So, again, this is another one where you're talking it's going to be very close. There are other candidates as well, and it's another one where if you want to look at a lot of these races and say what's going to make the difference, a lot of it is we're talking boots on the ground, who's really getting out the vote, who's passing out literature these last few days, who's really working it the day before, the day of Election Day. And so when you have a lot of backing from elected officials and unions and political clubs and the like, in the city council races, that goes a long way.
Yeah, I've heard that outside money has played a big part in this race.
There's outside money. That's another factor in a lot of races. So the independent expenditures that are happening in a lot of these races have changed the color of this election cycle. It's the first New York City election cycle since Citizens United, and it's opened up the floodgates here for independent expenditures. And the New York Campaign Finance Board, I should tell everybody listening, the New York Campaign Finance Board has done an amazing job of keeping track of all this and everything else that they do. And so if you want to look up any of these groups that are these outside groups spending money in these New York City races from the mayor's race on down, you can go to the New York Campaign Finance Board website and check out some of that. And this is a race where it's come into play quite a bit, and there's allegations being tossed around about these anonymous drops. You know, people don't know who the literature is coming from.
Right. There are conservative groups like Jobs for New York that's supporting Vallone. And then also we saw that Republican Dan Halloran, who had the seat before, he was ousted on corruption charges, right?
Right. Exactly. Yes. So that's still, you know, Dan Halloran is still defending himself, and we'll see what really comes there, what exactly sticks in that case.
Right. And so is there this is also a good chance, by the way, to remind people that there are no runoffs in the council race primaries. So in a race that's really crowded like this one, the winner may have only a small percentage of the vote, as you said before.
We could be talking 30% of the vote wins. I mean, that we saw some of that in 2009 in certain races where you have 30-35% of the vote winning. And it's interesting to think about how much of a mandate that really is from the people of the district, right? And that opens up for challenges to an incumbent the next time around.
Do we often see get out the vote efforts? I've lived in New York for 30 years, and I haven't seen so much focus on city council races.
There's get out the vote efforts by some of the local clubs and unions, as I mentioned, but turnout is not high, as you know, as we all hear, and you know, many people who listen to the Brian Lehrer show, you know, are not the people we really need to be telling this to. But they hopefully those listeners can help other people get registered and get out to the polls.
Right. So let's travel a little bit more. Now we're going from northeastern Queens to southeastern Brooklyn. I'm not sure how you do that on public transportation. I think it's a bus to the Long Island Railroad into Manhattan, then two trains. But eventually we end up in District 38, Sunset Park, Red Hook. It's a two-person race between two-term incumbent Sarah Gonzalez and challenger Carlos Menchaca. Why is a two-term incumbent in such a close race?
Well, that's a great question. And I think if someone from Mr. Menchaca's campaign or a supporter is going to call in, maybe we'll hear about that from someone in the district. But basically, the answer is that the district's been changing quite a bit over the years. And there's also just allegations against Ms. Gonzalez that she's kind of coasting along and not really doing what her constituents need her to do. Hmm. Mr. Menchaca also made quite a name for himself in the community post-Sandy, and a lot of people focus on his leadership in galvanizing the community. If you're looking from kind of his perspective and his supporters' perspective, they would say he did a great deal of work for the community then, and she was not as active, and so they're looking for some change there. And I would add on that's probably the race where you have the best chance of an incumbent losing. It is very rare for so many unions and elected officials to endorse a challenger, and that's what they've done here. I mean, Carlos Menchaca has quite a bit of backing, and it's probably going to make a big difference come election day.
Yeah, and we actually have a constituent from that area, Steve. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about that race?
Sure. I'm actually not a constituent of that district, but I appreciate the opportunity to say a few words. That's a district in which there has been a lot of independent expenditures, perhaps the highest of any district. When you consider that the last time around in 2009, when Councilmember Gonzalez faced a challenge, there were 3,500 votes overall cast. There is a pledge that's out there that there will be approximately $500,000 spent in independent expenditures by Jobs for New York. That's more than $100 per vote. And yet you have the incumbent, Sarah Gonzalez, refusing to show up at a debate that was organized in the community by nonpartisan community organizations, saying she wasn't willing to show up and engage the challenger, Menchaca, because she has some disagreements with him about his positions. Is this a new, a harbinger of the district races to come, where it's done purely on the basis of independent expenditures, mailers, and the candidates aren't even needing to show up anymore in a 3,500 vote race?
Ben, what do you think?
Well, I think it's a great point. What's interesting to track is, since Citizens United, this is, again, the first election cycle here in New York City where we're seeing these independent expenditures. And so council member from Brooklyn, Brad Lander, who's up for re-election and I don't believe is being challenged, although I have to check if he is. It's not going to be a difficult race for him to win. But Brad Lander is putting forward legislation where he wants to make the sources of the independent expenditures required to list their top donors on their materials and things like that. So we're going to see moving forward, in response to that part of the caller's question, we're going to see moving forward if maybe the city council can pass some legislation that adjusts what the independent expenditures look like and what they're all about. But I think we are in this post-Citizens United era, and we are going to see these groups getting involved with major money. And so that's where it's also going to come down to the voters to make wise decisions and to not just believe everything they're reading that they get in the mail or everything they're hearing over the airwaves.
Right. Ben Max runs the website Decide New York, a one-stop guide for information about all the races this fall. We've linked to it and the pages for all the races we discussed on our website. We also have WNYC's guide to the city council races there as well. So it's okay if you haven't paid attention yet. Read up this weekend and vote on Tuesday. Thank you so much, Ben.
My pleasure.